you for having us reach 35,000 downloads. And if you will, head over to wherever you get your podcast or Apple Podcasts and go to our episode page. Click on the 5 stars. Leave a review if you will. And that would just help us a lot. Here's to 35,000 more downloads.
Ace Podcast.
Hi, this is Alex M.
And this is Morgan S.
And you're listening to Coming Clean Podcast with Sam and Marty. Can I get down like
this? This is Coming Clean Podcast.
With Sam and Marty. Marty.
On this week's episode, we take a cue from the entire episode and we just start talking crap about Spencer and Heidi's relationship. There's also trivia and other things. Hello, welcome, happy Friday. It's the Coming Clean Podcast, the retrospective podcast about MTV's iconic shows, Laguna Beach, but right now we are talking about The Hills. It's episode 50, and it is cold here in Minnesota, but as always, that will not stop me. I am the president of the Lonely Girl 15 fan club, aka the boy that chugs LaCroix. But only the citrus kinds, because the rest tastes like fruit farts. But shout out to coconut and mango. A.K.A. the writer of Sins Not Tragedies. A.K.A. Lin-Manuel Miranda Cosgrove. A.K.A. the Fallout Man. So ladies, watch out, because I'm known to drop a heart and break a name. But don't worry, I'm very nice. Well, you know me best as the bro that runs the show. My name is Marty, and with me as always, the Drew Lachey to my Nick Lachey, the man with the face of a Hollywood lead, but he can't read, a.k.a. Baby Shiloh and Baby Suri's biological father, a.k.a. Sammy California, a.k.a. Helen of Troy Bolton, so get your head in the game, he is larger than life, a.k.a. the Backstreet Man. Don't you dare call him T-Mobile, because he ain't my sidekick. He is Mr. Visually Rewarding.
He's a big boy.
It's Sam.
Welcome to be here. Another episode down. Another episode to go.
It's been
a blast.
We're on years. Episode 50. The golden episode.
In 50 years, we'll be 78 and still doing this.
Hopefully popping as a podcast with sponsors and Patreons, patrons.
Anybody, anything.
Yes. But we'll get to information on how to get to us later. But we are on episode 50 now. Big milestone for us. Couldn't have done it without the good people. And now let's get to some headlines.
The Hills Headlines.
I want to start off by saying that we are now on Spotify, the Great White Whale of Podcasts. We have been accepted into that wonderful gated community that is Spotify. So if you prefer listening to podcasts on your Spotify app or your Spotify player at home, at work, in the toilet, wherever you listen to the podcast, you now have that option. So check us out. Search for Coming Clean Podcast on Spotify. And thank you for listening if you are already listening on that. But as always, you have your options. We are pretty much everywhere now. You can get podcasts, except SoundCloud, because that thing's going out of business.
I do have to say, which I don't know if we're able to say, you might have to bleep this out, but ooh, being on Spotify is like being in the Illuminati. Doors have just opened up for me wherever I go.
Yes. Sam has been getting some free Chipotle, aka he just grabs it and runs. Still free, though.
Hey, if you're a part of the Illuminati, you take what you want and you get what you want.
All right, well, is there anything happening with the cast of The Hills?
No idea. We just had probably getting some false suggestions from LC on her Twitter. Yeah, I don't think anything's too crazy. Just life, you know, life is really starting to come full bloom with everyone.
Yeah, I guess everyone's starting to get busy as responsible human beings and as parents. So, no, just a little quiet. Maybe it's a calm before the storm. Well, then, let's get to the stormy relationship that we have to talk about, because we got to talk about this episode. What is it? What is it called? It is season 2, episode 6.
The ominous title of You Have Chosen.
Here are the highlights.
The Hills highlights.
All right, one really big topic here. I don't know how we're just going to freeball on how we approach this, but
nice.
Going commando on this episode. But essentially, in a nutshell, the episode was basically all about growing tensions between Elsie and Heidi, because Elsie does not trust Spencer, and Heidi was willing to give him a second chance. So where do we want to start with takes, or do we want to start with what happened?
I guess we could kind of give a rundown of what, you know, the landscape that is this whole situation.
Yeah, get us up to speed.
So, correct me if I'm wrong, we start off with Elsie just dropping a bomb on Heidi, being like, Spencer is not a great guy for you, comparing him to Jason, Heidi denying it, being like, you don't really know him. And we get it back and forth, and Elsie, you know, sometimes in certain relationships, people take hard stances on situations that maybe one of the individuals don't want to necessarily hear. And she took a hard line, being like, if you're dating Spencer, I don't see you that often, and she's not a big fan of the situation.
Because of what Spencer had done to Heidi with the whole Audrina situation, and basically every time he's in the club.
Correct. Which then leads to several different conversations between different groups of people, and nobody could get really the facts straight at all. It seems like Elsie kept saying things when people asked, and then the words would get spun around. Her talking to Brody, she talked to Spencer directly, Spencer to Heidi. So it was it's all very convoluted.
Yeah, so first of all, a lot of this could have been solved by like one group meeting. And we saw
put a meeting on for like 30 minutes.
Right.
Monday.
Yeah. But all of this could have been solved. Well, yeah, by that. But also, we saw a lot of the conversations happening. So we saw who was talking to whom. But once the information was relayed to the next person, it was never accurate. Like, we saw the actual conversation, and
I don't think one person got, like, the correct details.
Right. It was a case of people hearing what they wanted to hear, but also trying to deflect blame away from themselves. Like, no one kept it real.
No. I guess everybody's to blame.
Yes.
Except maybe LC, but she was the one providing all the information. Everybody else kind of got wrong what she was saying.
Right. Yeah, and I'm trying to think of how to split up this. Let's go character by character. So let's start with LC.
Okay.
So clearly concerned, because she had gone through the same thing, and Heidi at the time was stating her case against Jason. Obviously, there was some resistance from LC, but eventually it ends up badly with her and Jason. So with that sort of context around Elsie's life, she, I guess, is just trying to save Heidi from what she thinks would be an inevitable breakup.
So where do you stand? I think this is one of the topics that
yes.
Spencer kind of, you know, everybody kind of, he draws back to this is Elsie very, concerned for Heidi's well-being, or is she more concerned that she's going to lose a friend if they're together all the time? Or is she just concerned that she doesn't want to see her get hurt?
Yes.
In that situation.
I was going back and forth. Is she just jealous that she's not getting FaceTime with Heidi, or is she really just looking out for her? I think it is her just sensing a change in her friendship with Heidi, and she, I don't think it was malicious, but sort of trashing Spencer became a convenient way to approach the situation for Elsie. So she used the whole Spencer thing to sort of gain favor with Heidi.
Yes. And I'm on the front that even though Elsie may be properly intentioned mm-hmm. to, you know, try to give Heidi what's going on, but she also, how do I explain this? I think she has her own she's not going about it the correct way.
Right. Yes, agreed.
She is using, I just had something, I had a thought and then I lost it. Oh, yeah, this is what it is. Okay. She's pushing her agenda onto how she sees a relationship should be.
Right.
And she's kind of forcing that onto Heidi's relationship with Spencer.
Mm-hmm.
We eventually get this kind of confrontation, and this kind of where two people arguing and they both have different points and nobody's listened to the other one on their point.
Right.
Whereas Spencer is, when they're in the club and Spencer kind of confronts Elsie, that he's saying that you don't know our relationship and that Heidi's fine and she accepts me for who I am.
Right.
Which is, depends how that situation goes. And, but yet Elsie's like, well, I'm seeing you talking to all these girls, like that's not right. But if in their relationship, Heidi doesn't have a problem with that and him flirting with these girls, as long as maybe he doesn't fully act on it.
Right.
That's their business.
Yeah.
And it's, being at that age, it's hard to decipher what, like, your point of view and what your friend's point of view is.
Yeah. It's like, just because it did not end the way you wanted it to end with Jason, and sort of the patterns are similar. And as a best friend, I think it's totally fine that she's giving the warnings and stuff like that. But she's only seeing one side of the relationship. And also sort of just what she's seeing at the club where everyone's drunk anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like Heidi didn't explicitly say it. And obviously, like, we get where Elsie's coming from, but it seems like Heidi's stance is, I get why you're concerned. I appreciate it. But it's something that I can deal with. Like, it's not a huge problem. And if it becomes a problem, I'll say it. So sort of just back off.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that should have probably been more clearly established. But yeah, my question is, like, I don't want to, like, blow anyone's spot up here, but we have been sort of in the LC spot with some of our mm-hmm. friends. And, you know, but I think we took more of a passive stance where we would be there if they needed support and
mm-hmm.
sort of obviously blindly support our friend. Like, we have nothing to do with the other side of that relationship. But we would sort of just, because, yeah, we don't know both sides. We don't know the entire context of the relationship, what the understanding is. So, yeah, when he trashes her, we blindly support him. But when he's not, we don't just, like, trash her just to trash her.
Exactly.
So,
like, if somebody brings up a point, you can always confirm that point or that thought if that's really what you think as well. But you can never go, like, it's never, unless it's, like, truly bad and, like,
right, if it's, like, abusive and it's, like,
yeah,
getting physical or something.
Yeah. But if it's, they just, like, fight a lot and they don't see eye to eye or whatever the issues may be,
right,
you can't, it's not anybody's right to break up a relationship, because people have an idea of relationships differently.
Yes, I think. Yeah, I think Elsie is. I think Elsie is not completely over Jason, and she's deflecting that feeling towards trying to. I think her problem is she lost control of their relationship with Jason, so now she's deflecting to Heidi and Spencer's relationship, because if she can sort of get Heidi to do what she wants, then she Elsie gets the control back.
That's and like my she's psychological also,
analysis on that one.
And she's also, I feel like she's like white knighting it kind of thing, where she feels like, oh, I'm riding in, I'm saving Heidi.
Right, when she hasn't asked for help.
Exactly. But at the same time, Heidi was complaining a lot about her and Spencer's relationship and right. saw how she broke down. So we kind of don't see what in between. Maybe when Heidi went out with Spencer, maybe they had a talk, they discussed this and got on the same page.
Yeah.
Very possible, but we don't really know. We can only go off of what we've seen.
Right.
So and, it's kind of a tough line.
Yeah, so let's shift to Heidi and Spencer. So, yeah, even at the club, everyone was obviously drinking, but Spencer was... Also, I did not know that the beef between Spencer and Elsie started this early on.
Season two? Yeah. Yeah, we still got, like, four seasons left.
Yeah, I thought it, like...
Or, like, the hatred alone. Yeah.
So, but I thought that even though they were drinking, Spencer... You mentioned it, said a really great point on you don't know the entire context of our relationship and what our understanding is. And we saw this with Heidi and Jordan, where Heidi is just a naturally flirty person. And mm-hmm. Jordan had an issue with it until they got an understanding of sort of that's just how Heidi's personality is. I think initially Heidi was in Jordan's spot with Spencer. But when they're in the same room and Spencer's doing that now, I think they have a better understanding as opposed to before when it was like Audrina or like the Playboy people.
Yeah. Yeah. They could have, I mean, he could have expressed his point, but like, hey, we weren't fully serious before, but yeah, right. I just still talking to people like we're still young.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you're like, you're my number one, but I'm still like, you know, there's other people around. I don't know. It's kind of not my cup of tea, but
right. Yeah, but they're like super similar personalities. So it's like, hey, I see a lot of myself in you, and that's just mm-hmm. who we are. So it's not for us. It's not a big deal. For everyone else, it might be, but for us, it's not. So that's one side of it. But the other side of it now as well that I'm thinking, just to play devil's advocate, is Heidi. Just, you know, sticking with this to prove Elsie wrong, because that could be another, like, she's just so fed up of Elsie trying to boss her life around that she's like, I'm going to prove that this, I can make this relationship work. It's like, just because you couldn't make yours work doesn't mean I can't make mine.
I don't think so. I think she does. Maybe she got in a situation where she tries to appease everybody. She doesn't want it to, I don't think she ever really, like, from even in the past, she never really wants to, like, offend anybody. So I feel like she, whatever, like, Elsie says to her, she kind of agrees with or tries to brush it off and, you know, placate everybody and kind of, like, calm the situation. And then, which we can see when, as an example, Spencer gave Heidi flowers right. on the date, but then Heidi brings them to Elsie and goes, oh, Spencer got these for you.
And which the joke Spencer, went over Elsie's head.
Which, but this is where it goes to her trying to appease the situation. She right. was trying to do that to like, oh, Spencer, like she didn't, I don't think she actually meant it as a joke, but when Elsie confronted her on it or like somehow it came up, the easiest thing is to say, oh, that's a joke. Like,
yeah.
don't worry about it. To brush it off and hopefully smooth over the situation and avoid the conflict.
Yeah.
Cause she ended up packing and leaving to, I mean, I guess she went to go talk to her too after their big fight, but, and then with Spencer, maybe she's just doing this to appease him to keep everybody under control. Not in a controlling way, but, everybody's calm way.
Yeah. And it just out of all of this, it seemed to me at least from just how everything was put together. Spencer seemed to be... It's either he's the most reasonable one or he's the most manipulative one, because Audrina now also brought up a good point where Spencer was trying to pit them against each other.
Yeah.
And it could well be happening now, and Spencer's sort of just watching his work unfold. So the god once again masterminding something, or he actually is just like a reasonable person.
I mean, it could be a mix of both. Like when he was talking with LC and they're like discussing, and then LC like kind of was like, oh, Spencer was yelling at me. I didn't really think he was yelling at me. I think he was just a loud club and trying to like get point across. But like when he was stating his point, I felt like it was very coherent at first.
Right.
And then LC came with her point and it ended up like that now he kind of went off the rails because now he's trying to like counteract what she's saying. And I don't know. I just felt like he was very like it was very coherent and made a lot of sense.
Yeah, and I think we're seeing a lot. I'm seeing sort of three different personality types here in terms of confrontation and conflict between.
Resolution.
Yeah. So Spencer is, just from what we've seen so far, when it's like little things, he overreacts, sort of like the Heidi's coworker with a comment,
yeah,
things like that, or the opposite side of that when it gets like super serious, that's when he's a little bit more level-headed and controlled, like with the false pregnancy
and
the club part. Like, I think he was overreacting a little bit with sort of just the hearsay with LC, but when he finally approached her at the club, it was like he seemed reasonable.
Yeah, he was like, let's clear the air. Like, I think he always knew that they would never be friends, but he was like, let's just make it peaceable civil for Heidi. Yeah. Yeah. And then LC was like, no.
Yeah.
She didn't even want that to be
an option. Yeah.
Yeah.
So then Heidi is someone who will avoid all conflict until it's about to blow up and she's just pushing and pushing. And then Elsie's the opposite, where she'll preempt conflict, but then when the conflict actually happens, she'll just shut down.
She runs away from it. Yeah.
And she'll be like, I don't want to talk to you. So it's like, it's just the makings of like three different personality types that do not mix.
No, not at all.
And that's what makes Heidi and Spencer compatible, because I think when there's a problem, Spencer elevates the situation really quickly when Heidi doesn't want to. So that when it gets to a point where Heidi has to do something, then Spencer can start being sort of cool and level-headed. So I think that's what makes them a little bit more compatible and can like handle the drama in the way LC couldn't.
And clearly that relationship works because they're still together.
Yeah, it's still amazing that that's the one relationship that lasted. But shouts to them.
Yeah, I mean, they know how they complement each other well. There's a reason why they're still together, so... I mean, joke's on everybody else.
Yeah. All right. So, that was basically the episode, but I want to sort of flip the script here a little bit and let's put each other in like each of their shoes. Like, if you were LC, you only know what LC knows. You don't know any other context. So you're LC. What do you do?
Okay.
How would you approach the relationship?
Probably wouldn't have said anything. Like she took too hard of a stance, but like we kind of expressed it, like, she brought it up to Heidi and like confronted her on it and been like, I'm looking out for your safety.
Right.
Blah, blah, blah. I felt like I would have ignored, or like if anybody kind of did some dumb thing to me, like directly, I'd be like, hey, like, that's not cool. Like, this person, you know, was rude to me.
Yeah.
It has to like directly impact my life.
Right.
And with Elsie and Heidi's situation, it didn't necessarily impact Elsie's life other than her losing a friend.
Mm-hmm.
And at a young age, it's like, I mean, everybody's like, oh, I'm losing a buddy, like another soldier down, blah, blah, blah. Until you get older, it's like, it's not that big of a deal. Or everybody kind of like figures out their own, you know, you can do things on your own.
Right.
But when you're younger, it's like, oh, you just want that group of friends all the time. And if somebody's trying to invade that and aren't cool or don't want to hang out with like your group, then it gets a little weird, but you can't really force your opinion on that.
Yeah. So it, what's like the, what's the breaking point when you're like, what point do you think Heidi and Spencer are, if you're LC or if you're you and like someone in our friend group, what, like, what's the breaking
Spencer,
point of when,
like, Spencer would have had, oh, go ahead.
Sort of like, how serious does that relationship have to be for you to sort of let go and say, okay, now the friendship has to change and I will accept that I will not have the same amount of time hanging out with that person and I probably am not the go-to anymore. Married
a
for
year.
10 years.
I mean, I think a year is a pretty good baseline for certain situations.
Yeah.
Especially in like relationships, a year. And then once you're at two, like you're basically out the door.
Right.
There's no shot. It's just whether you are still that friend enough, like how much contact you have a friend. Like nowadays it's probably easier with texting and group chats and keeping in touch with people.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess back then, but people's relationships, you know, will go. And once you find a significant other, like that truly is, should be more or less that person's best friend. Right. And the quicker you people realize that, it's easier on everybody.
Right. And then what point of, what does Spencer have to do for you to be like, no, I'm effing serious. You actually have to end this. Like, what does Spencer have to do?
I, like, Spencer would, like, one, probably have to kill somebody.
Wow. Or
two.
That far?
Or two, like, if he, like, started getting very malicious and doing things at LC. Like, say he, like, siphoned LC's gas or, like, pee in her gas tank or, like at a club and like berated her for like no good reason.
Yeah.
And then it gets harmful. I don't think, I mean, Spencer always said he didn't like LC, but yet they were fine. Like they didn't even have to interact. They could just be in the same area.
Yeah.
And
would you have snitched? You're at the club. Would you have snitched on her, on Spencer when you saw that? Because we sort of saw the dialogue. There were captions.
Yeah.
But LC did not.
I mean, you would have to, like, I think I would have tried to, like, call, like, Heidi over and have her, like, position.
For her to see it.
To, like, have it her see it herself.
Yeah.
Because, as they said, it's like, they're not, she's not going to believe them anyways. So, like, that was the thing. If Heidi came over and they called Heidi over and was like, hey, Heidi, like, do you see that now? And she was like, oh, no, that's cool. Like, that doesn't bother me.
Right.
Then maybe they're like, oh, okay, this is, like, not my place then. Like, yeah. Even if she still saw it and doesn't, like, care.
But
they were like, they're not going to believe me anyways. And they didn't even try that. Or, like, you have your phone. Like, take a camera, like, a video or something.
What surprised me was the first question, well, I guess she was drinking, but my first question, I would have, like, called Heidi over and been like, do you know her? And if she was like, yeah, and then I was like, oh, okay, cool. And she'd be like, well, because Spencer was talking to her. I was just looking out, just in case. And if she was like, no, like, be like, yeah, just, you know, just keep an eye on him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, be like, oh, no, I have him on my radar, like, thanks for looking out kind of thing.
Yeah. All right, you're Heidi.
Okay. I like this game.
How do you handle LC sort of just intervening on this relationship?
I just, you shake your head. You're like, okay. and then continue on with your life.
So you wouldn't have done that? Well, you're not very
confident. I would probably do what Heidi would, but at the same time, I wouldn't necessarily like try to like give somebody flowers or right. like be like, oh, they bought this gift for you. Like try to be like, all right, it's whatever. Either you're with me or you're against me. Is my stance.
And I'm also realizing that there are a bunch of snitches, because would you have snitched to Spencer about LC not liking him?
If I was Brody?
No, if you were Heidi. Because Heidi told...
Heidi didn't snitch? Oh,
like
yeah.
Like her and just then, basically telling Spencer that LC doesn't like you. And it's affecting my friendship with her.
As being a significant other, I think you bring that up, and usually if you that's a good significant other, that person might try to change a little bit. Because was this before or after he confronted LC? This was before he confronted LC.
Yep.
It would have been best if he like stopped talking to girls in the club and was just like on his best behavior a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Where he kind of didn't do that. He just kept being who he was, which is also fine. You can do that as well. But I think I would have tried to been on my best behavior around all the situation, try to made it a little more appeaser. Get on the same wavelength as her and like a little more understanding.
Wait, you're still Heidi. You're not Spencer yet.
Oh.
Would you have snitched? Would you have told Spencer about all of that?
Maybe not, because I don't think it was worth it. It's until LC gets like gives Heidi an ultimatum. Like if Heidi gave,
yeah, so yeah, that ultimatum? Was like no, I don't think so. But yeah, it's like the same question. At what point do you sort of have to pick a side? Like whether the relationship, which relationship do you save? Like what point does sort of one like when you're Heidi? What does Spencer have to do for you to be like, okay, I pick LC? And what does LC have to do to be like, this isn't worth, the friendship isn't worth ending the relationship?
All the heart. Yeah.
I'm trying to make this episode interesting.
LC, if I was Heidi, LC would have had to said something really, really bad about Spencer. In the sense of like, I really hate his guts, because she never really said that.
Spencer said that about her.
Yeah, and Heidi told LC that. And look at where we got. So I don't think it's the best idea.
These people are awful. Stop snitching.
I don't know. I think it's like a feeling. It's a feeling that you gotta have. You gotta be fully committed to this person. Because it's like your relationship and you're going to be tied to one person possibly for the rest of your life. So, but Heidi probably should have dealt with that internally, I would say. Say that if LC, see where the relationship goes. If the LC continues to be annoying about it, and then eventually you guys will fall out of touch to begin with.
Right.
And then if your significant other asks what happened, blah, 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 then you can tell them, and then maybe that makes you guys go a bit closer. But if it's just, like, offhand stuff, talking, and somebody staying their point, like, I don't think there's a good idea to get the other person involved. Snitches get stitches.
Yeah. All right, now you're Spencer. I think you already alluded to it, but do you have anything to add? Like, how do you handle the LC and Heidi situation?
Yeah, I mean, either you don't get involved at all,
mm-hmm.
or you try to, you know, be on your best behavior. You don't have to change who you are, but right. maybe, like, just know the situation. Like, we're at a club with all your friends. I probably should, like, just sit there and not talk to anybody.
And then similar question, at what point are you like, okay, what point do you give Heidi an ultimatum to drop LC as a friend? Or do you sort of just pick yourself and cut bait with Heidi completely because you don't want to deal with it.
Well, that fight was pretty bad. So if I got in a fight with her LC,
yep,
and we continue to fight for like, you know, a month, 2 months,
mm-hmm.
you might have to, that's when you kind of have to be like, all right, who are you picking now? Like me or your friend?
All right, bonus round. You're Brody. You're shooting your shot with LC, but Spencer is your best friend. What do you do?
I tell Spencer what LC said.
Ooh, picking your boy first.
Yeah, I don't think Brody did anything wrong.
Yeah.
He just got in the mix, and he was trying to like get both sides to get an understanding.
Yeah, because
like,
he's
on the right.
Yeah, because if anyone in that entire friend group would have been the peacemaker, it should have been like probably Brody and not Audrina, mm-hmm. but yeah, just Brody. Because I was gonna say Jen Bunny, but she's I think in too deep.
No, she's too deep. Yeah, Brody's the best guy because he plays both sides and he's like wants everything to work out and everybody be good and chill.
Yeah.
But he's just going. It's an uphill battle on both. They're too strong-headed of people and have too strong point of views, and they don't listen to like when they were when they were fighting. One person had a point of view, the other person had their own, and they never like understood what either of them were discussing, and that's just a bad recipe for anything.
All right, well, that concludes our interview segment with Sam, our role-playing segment. Anything else before we move on from this episode?
This is the beginning of the end. I think Heidi walking out and not staying at her apartment to discuss with LC is, you know, it's going to be the end.
All right, well, we'll find out which sides we stand on after a quick message from our Ace Podcast partner.
It's Kevin and Jesse from Grab Them By The Pod, a member of the Ace Podcast Network.
Every episode, we discuss the latest news on Trump, Congress, and everything else in politics.
With experience in Congress, on the campaign trail, and lobbying, we bring you an unbiased look at the state of our union.
You may or may not agree with our politics, but I think you're going to like us.
Grab Them By The Pod.
You know you want to.
All right, go find our friends, Grab Them By The Pod on Facebook, Twitter, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. And as always, our entire podcast family will be at acepodcast.com/grab-them-by-the-pod. Links, as always, will be in the description. All right, time to crown.
Shout out to not reading, by the way.
Yeah, some of our friends have uploaded some promos.
It's the modern age.
Yes. And speaking of shout outs, whose side does Sam and Marty fall on? It's time to crown an MVP.
Clap your hands with me.
It's the MVP.
MVP
of the week.
All right, Team LC or Team Heidi, who is your MVP?
I am going with Brody.
Whoa. Team playing it safe.
Yeah, like I said, I like to play the middle ground. Try not to make any waves.
All right, fair enough. I am going to pick Spencer. A little bit mix, as usual, my refined criteria of who entertained me the most. But also, he seemed like he was the only one in control of the situation. There was a little bit of a blow up, a bust up, but I thought he took control of that situation too, so Spencer is the MVP. And now, can't speak right now. Jabron Zone.
Jabroni, J-A-B-R-O-N-I, X-Y-Z, A-B-C. Oh, it doesn't matter how you spell Jabroni.
okay, you can keep saying that and make yourself think you're a good person, but you're a bad person.
I didn't do anything wrong.
Someone needs to get flushed. Who is it going to be?
I'm going to flush Elsie.
Jabroni!
I'm going to agree.
Jabroni!
Reasons.
I'm just not a big fan of confrontation, and Elsie just really went for it.
Yeah, I mean, she was
all confrontation this whole episode. It was all the drama was around her.
Yeah, she must have meant well, but the approach was a little bit off. And
yeah, not good.
All right, now it's time for some trivia.
It's trivia time.
February 19th, 2007 is the day we are talking about. I am up by two as I got a magical 3 points last week. 21-19 is the score. Are you ready? 5 questions.
Yeah.
All right. I wasn't sure if you were. Question. Excuse me. Number one. It was reported on this day that this diet fad was making a comeback, where you can eat as much as 6,000 calories a day and still lose weight, up to 66 pounds in 2 years for one person. This is possible because you ingest this to help you out. Seems like a sticky situation to me.
Sticky situation?
Sticky situation, man.
Am I guessing the diet?
Mm-hmm. It's a diet. The diet is based on what you eat. Eating something helps with the diet.
I know, and I have something in mind. It's not Atkins, is it?
No.
Ah.
It's eating a tapeworm.
What?
Yeah, apparently you like eat a tapeworm. They put it in like a capsule, and then it grows in your stomach so that whatever you eat, it just eats and then just keeps eating whatever you're eating.
That's not legal.
Yeah, I think this was 2007, man. They were like, no, this is super problematic. You're basically
the FDA
like feeding.
Did not exist.
Yeah. And also, I think there was like another type of worm that doctors would put in your body to like clear your GI tract. I don't know. I'm not a doctor.
No.
But we'll get to question. Question number two might be a little more interesting to you. It's all about the movies. This Nicolas Cage film was well on its way to making almost $116 million in the box office. That might seem like a big number, but considering the film's $120 million budget, it was nothing more than a flaming pile of bones. Nicolas Cage.
I know. And a flaming pile of bones.
Oh, was that a clue? Was that an expression? Who knows?
It's not the National Treasure, is it?
No. It's Ghost Rider.
Oh, dang.
How dare you call National Treasure a bust?
Well, that's what I was thinking. I was like, it can't be. That was like, gross millions of dollars.
Yeah, no. All right. Question number three. It does not get easier, my guy.
Oh, gosh.
Go for two. Question number three is a sports question.
Okay.
The NBA All-Star Game wrapped up on this day, featuring stars like Kevin Garnett, Tim Duncan, Shaquille O'Neal, Yao Ming, and then youngsters LeBron James and Dwayne Wade. It was the West who got lucky when Kobe Bryant got the hot hand and handed the West a victory, 152-132. Who was the Miami Heat forward who won the three-point shootout? If you get this, when I'm in New York, I'm buying you dinner.
I have a name in mind, and I don't want to say who it is. Oh, no,
it might be right. I was scared. I might have to
know. Oh, no, because, no, this is when LeBron's still on Cleveland.
Yes. 2007.
Eddie House?
No.
It's Jason.
Yeah. No. I was going to say Chris Bosh, but oh. I think he was on the Raptors then.
Yeah, yeah. This was LeBron's third year.
Yeah, if he was still in Cleveland. I was thinking if, when you were saying LeBron, I thought he was on the Heat.
Oh, no. It was Shaq and Dwayne Wade on the Heat that year. All right, question.
Stacked.
Question number four. Do you, I don't know if you watch this, but if you watch this, you might be able to get this.
All right.
It seems so strange that this actress only turned 3 years old on this day. I could have sworn she turned 11.
Is it Millie Bobby Brown?
Hey, it is. One yes. for four. All right, so you do watch that show. I don't, but yeah. I saw her
oh, you should.
FamousBirthdays.com.
Should be your next right. show.
Yeah. Question number five is another birthday question. Oh, gosh. You'll like this. I hope you get this. This actress turned 14 on this day. No matter what it is, she's not afraid to try. And you need to know that you're the reason why.
Like, if you think back to college, you will know exactly the answer.
Who turned 14?
Yes. An actress turned... Actress slash singer, but more actress... Turned 14. She's not afraid to try, and you need to know that you're the reason why. It's so crazy. Have I told you lately that I love you? You're the only reason that I'm not afraid to fly. It's so crazy.
This is killing me right now, dude.
And you need to know that you're the reason.
Why? Why?
Is she on The Voice? Daniel Bradbury?
Oh!
Oh!
Victoria Justice!
Oh, that was... You didn't let it shine, man.
Oh, yeah, well. Well, what I'm going to do now is freak the freak out because you went 1 for 4.
Bad looks, man. Bad looks.
Shouts to Victorious. Aiden
yeah,
Jogger for
out,
life.
Good show. Yeah.
Or, what's his name? Avin? Avin?
Yeah, Avin Joga.
Avin Joga. For life. All right, well, that's 1 for 4. That means you're 1 point down. I'm going to write that down for next week. 21-20 is the score. So we'll see if I can extend my lead next week. But let's send the good people off to a good weekend with some recommendations. What do you got?
After I enjoyed all my Mike and Ikes, I'm going to recommend... We just talked about it. I'm going to recommend Stranger Things.
Right.
1 and 2, season 1 and 2. All actually, right. The show is fantastic. Great story, great acting. You will be hooked.
All right, I'll check it out. I gotta finish Nathan for You, and catch up on Curb Your Enthusiasm this weekend. So maybe over Thanksgiving, that's what I'm gonna watch.
You can easily get it done in 2 days.
Both seasons. Oh yeah, it's like
yeah,
only like 8 episodes.
It's like 8 episodes. Yeah, it's. I did it in 1 day. Season 2.
Is it, like, scary?
Yeah, kinda. But not, like, jump scary, though.
Okay. All right.
Season 1, I think, is scarier than season 2. All
right. I will. I might actually have to... like, literally everyone in my office is talking about it. I'm like, I have no idea what anyone's talking about.
Get on. It's really good. Like, it's okay. Really good 80s themed.
Yeah.
It's, like, brooding. Yeah, right. Like, if you're dark and brooding, you might like it.
Yeah, very. All right, I'm going to recommend the Broadway musical waitress. Jason Mraz is on his 10-week run right now. I'm going to go see it in December, so y'all should too, at the Brooks Atkinson Theater in Manhattan. And for those, I think they're in Cleveland right now on tour, not the Broadway cast, but the show's on tour. I think they're in Cleveland right now. They'll be in my neck of the woods in late November. Just check out the Googles for their schedules. So go check that out for some music. Sarah Bareilles wrote all of the songs, so you know it's legit. All right, now let's just tell the good people where they can find us.
Yeah, as always, you guys can find us at Coming Clean Pod on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Check out our website at comingcleanpod.xyz. Support us on Patreon at patreon.com/comingcleanpod. Email us at coming.clean.pod@gmail.com and subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts. Don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe. And tell all your friends about this podcast.
Thanks to Radical Something for our theme song, Kelly Get Down. Always remember one last time before we head out to the weekend.
On this 50th anniversary of us doing a podcast, always rep the rad.
Worldwide peace.